then nothing can be experienced as unified, because unity does not exist as a discrete experience. It is not something that can be known. It may exist as a concept, but it is not a concept that you can directly experience. It can only be an idea, never your experienced reality. In this context, you cannot know yourself as who you really are. Yet it is our wish to know ourselves as who we really are. Thus, we must first create the experience of who we are not. Since we cannot create this experience in ultimate reality, we must do so through illusion. In this way, we can rejoice in what is really so and know it. In this way, we can experience who we really are, the all of it, the one and only. We are the collective, the single reality in multiple form, having taken multiple form that we might notice and experience the glory of our single reality. This is a simple explanation of the purpose of relativity, which I have given you many times in our ongoing dialogue. It is repeated here so that you may understand it thoroughly, so that you may awaken from your dream. Until you awaken from your dream, the illusion of disunity from life will create a perceived need to survive. Before separation, you never questioned your survival. Only when you stepped away from life, me, and imagined yourself as separate, did life itself become that of which there was not enough. You began to make decisions about what you felt you had to do to survive, to have more life. This became your primary goal, your new basic instinct. You even began to think that the reason you coupled with others was to guarantee your survival as a species. You lost sight of the fact that you coupled in response to the only real instinct, which is love. You have called your new basic instinct the survival instinct, based on your idea that you might not survive. This idea is false, for your survival is guaranteed. Forever, and even forevermore. Yet you do not remember this, and so do not think there is enough life, given that there are so many aspects of life competing for it. And indeed, that is how you see it. You imagine that you are in competition with all the other stuff of life for life itself. You are competing with your very self for more of yourself. Your belief in insufficiency has even led you to conclude that there is not enough God. Not only is there not enough life, which you translate into a belief in death, and not only is there not enough of the stuff of life, which you translate into a belief in lack, there is not even enough of that which created life, which you translate into a belief in a limited God. Because all of these things are limited, you must compete for them. And you are destroying your planet and yourselves because of this belief. You are even destroying yourselves in your competitions for God, which you call religions. You have been killing yourselves, sometimes seeking to annihilate entire civilizations in your insane competition for God. You do not admit that you are doing these things, because to admit it would be to acknowledge that there may be something inaccurate about the way you view life and the world, and particularly about the way you view God. And this you have not been able to do. Such an admission would require enormous humility, and humility is not presently a large part of your planet's philosophy or theology. Your theologies in particular have been most arrogant, assuming and proclaiming to have all the answers, leaving no questions and entertaining no doubts. Yet something about these beliefs is not working. The idea that there is not enough God, not enough of the stuff of life, not enough life itself, has led to more than simple competition. It's led to brutal repression, to suppression, and to massive depression. Religions have repressed frank and honest inquiry. Governments have suppressed dissent, and millions of people live as a result in both economic and psychological depression. All of this has come out of the idea that insufficiency exists, for sufficiency would solve all of this. If you thought that there was enough to go around, there would be no more self-destructive behaviors, no more fighting over resources, no more squabbling over God. But there is not enough. About this you are clear. Still, if there is not enough, how does one get enough? How can survival be assured without killing and squabbling? Clearly, there was a flaw in the fourth illusion. This should have revealed the idea of insufficiency as false. But humans knew at some very deep level that they could not give up the illusion or something very vital would come to an end. Again, they were right. But again, they made a mistake. Instead of seeing the illusion as an illusion and using it for the purpose for which it was intended, they thought they had to fix the flaw. It was to fix the flaw in the fourth illusion that the fifth illusion was created. This is the fifth illusion. Requirement exists. The existence of insufficiency led rapidly and inevitably to the idea of the next illusion. If there were enough stuff, there would be nothing you would have to do to get whatever it was that you wanted or needed. You would just reach out and it would be there. But that is not how humans decided that it is. They said, there is not enough. So now they face the question, how does one get enough? How does one qualify? You imagine that there must be something you had to do in order to get the stuff of which there was not enough, something that would allow you to lay claim to it without argument. This is the only way that you could figure out to get everything, including God, divided in your favor without killing and squabbling. You imagine this to be the requirement. You told yourselves that fulfilling it, whatever it was, is what it takes. That idea has held firm to this very day. If anything, it has grown stronger. You believe that when you do the things you need to do, you can be the things you want to be. If you want to be happy, if you want to be secure, if you want to be loved, then there are things you are going to have to do. You cannot be these things unless you have enough. And you cannot have enough unless you do what it takes to get enough, to qualify for enough. This is what you believe, and because you believe it, you've elevated doing to the highest place in your cosmology. Even God says there is something you have to do in order to get into heaven. This is how you've put it together. This is the requirement. Mind you now, all of this is based on the third illusion, that you are separate. When there was only one of you, there was always enough, and so there was nothing you had to do in order to be anything. And that idea of separation was based on the second illusion, that failure exists. Because God failed to get what he wanted, he separated all humans from him. And failure was based on the first illusion, that need exists. God could not fail to get what God wanted if God wanted nothing. And God would want nothing if God needed nothing. In truth, there is only one illusion, and all the others are permutations of that. Everything else is an expansion of the only illusion with a different nuance. Thus, the illusion of requirement is nothing more than a different take on the illusion of need. Similarly, the illusion of insufficiency is a different take on the illusion of need, as is the illusion of failure, and so on, through all the illusions of humans. You will see very clearly, as you explore each illusion, that each is an outgrowth of the illusions that have gone before. It is like watching a balloon being blown up. The announcement of your species that there is a requirement that must be met in order to acquire anything of which there is not enough, including God's love, has proven to be one of the most significant decisions the human race has ever made. It has resulted in entire lists and sets of rules and regulations, guidelines and procedures, laws of God and laws of man, by which you imagine you must live your life. Here are a few of the things you have decided that you must do in order to have a good life on Earth.
Be a good boy or girl.
Don't talk back.
Get good grades and go on to college.
Graduate with a degree and find a good job.
Marry and have children.
Be good parents and give your children more than you were given.
Be cool.
Do as you're told.
Don't do bad things. Or, at least, don't get caught.
Follow the leader.
Don't ask too many questions and don't ask any of the wrong ones.
Keep everybody happy.
Do not include yourself in the group of people you are trying to keep happy, if it may mean excluding someone else from the group.
Don't impose on anybody, especially when you get old.
And here are a few of the things you've decided that you must do in order to please God and get into heaven.
Don't do anything bad, and forget about not getting caught, because you will.
If you do something bad, for God's sake, beg forgiveness and promise never, ever to do it again.
Be a good boy or girl.
Do not play with yourself.
Do not play with anyone else either. Not that way.
In fact, do not play much at all. Try to understand that all pleasures of the body are, at best, distractions from what you really came to earth to do, and at worst, absolute sins against God.
If you must have pleasures, do not enjoy them.
Do not enjoy money.
Do not enjoy attention.
Do not enjoy sex.
Above all, do not enjoy sex.
Never, ever have a sexual relationship outside of marriage. And never, ever love more than one person in that way.
If you must have sex for any reason other than procreation, be embarrassed. Do not freely or uninhibitedly enjoy it.
Do not take money for something truly enjoyable. And if you make a great deal of money, make sure you give most of it away.
Believe in the right God. For heaven's sake, believe in the right God.
Beg forgiveness and mercy from God for having been born imperfect, and ask Him for help in meeting the conditions for you to be loved again.
Humans have many other beliefs. These were listed here to give you just a few examples. This is what you have to do. This is the requirement, and you would do well to understand it. Who set this requirement? Who put it into place?
You say that I did? You claim that the author was God? And since there is not enough God to go around, you have to lay claim to me in order to justify setting yourself up as the winners in your competitions? You claim, then, that yours is the one nation under God, or that you are the chosen people, or that yours is the one true faith. You lay claim to me, and you do so viciously, ferociously, for you feel that if you can lay claim to me, you can then lay claim to anything else you desire in my name. This you have done for centuries, waving high your holy books, your crosses, and your flags to justify taking what there is not enough of by whatever means is necessary, including killing. You have even gone so far as to call such an event a holy war, seeking to close wounds in your soul while you open wounds in the bodies of others. You have performed the most ungodly acts in the name of God, and all because you think that I have a requirement that you must fulfill in order to receive me, my love, and all the stuff of life. As long as you believe there's something that you have to do, you will struggle to find out what it is, and then struggle further to achieve it. Achievement will become your God. Indeed, it already has. Yet if doing the right things brings you happiness and allows you to go home to God, why has all the striving to do those things felt so unhappy, and seemed so surely to be leading you away from God? And perhaps more importantly, how will it be determined whether or not all of this was worth it? By what measure, by what system, will it be decided if the requirement has been met? This is something you did not know. This was the question that humans began to ask. Clearly, there was a flaw in the fifth illusion. This should have revealed the idea of requirement as false. But humans knew at some very deep level that they could not give up the illusion, or something very vital would come to an end. Again they were right. But again they made a mistake. Instead of seeing the illusion as an illusion and using it for the purpose for which it was intended, they thought they had to fix the flaw. It was to fix the flaw in the fifth illusion that the sixth illusion was created.